So, blessings today. It's a busy day and a busy month. Father's Day, National Indigenous Peoples Day, and Pride Month. Whew, all packed into one. And normally I'd be wearing my orange t-shirt, but Susan stole it today. So, is it me, or was that a hard reading? It was tough. With talk of "do not think I have come to bring peace to the earth," I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. And what about "who does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me"? And "those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." These are three hard sayings of Jesus, and I don't know about you, but these sayings make me feel a little less than comfortable. In awe, but remember, remember, in all that is negative, that the arc of the universe is towards the good. God works everything towards the good. And I don't think it was Jesus just having a bad day, okay? So maybe if we explore the reading a little more deeply, we'll gain a better understanding of what Jesus is on about. So let's start with Jesus, the Prince of Peace, telling us he has not come to bring peace but a sword, and to set family member against family. On Father's Day? Jesus is speaking truth and describing the way things are, not the way things should be. That's when the kingdom comes in its fullness. So what if the use of the word sword is a metaphor for conflict? Okay, that softens it a little bit. But still, the gospel can be deeply offensive. In the time that Matthew was writing, we might not realize that because of how churched we are and how comfortable we are sitting here. But in the time that Matthew was writing, Jewish followers of Jesus were seen by their fellow Jews as having betrayed the faith. Father and son against one another, mother and daughter. To the Romans, Christians were seen as offensive, as the wider Roman society was polytheistic, honoring many gods of the Roman pantheon. The honoring of the gods was a civic and moral duty, and Christian refusal to participate was deeply offensive. It didn't help that later Christians were misunderstood and believed by some to be cannibals that ate the body of Christ and drank his blood. My grandson, years ago, he's in his 40s now, but when he was a little guy, when he was at the rail and heard this, he said, "Drinking blood is yucky." Even today, for some, Christians are to be avoided. They are viewed in a negative context. The horrors of the residential school and other harmful actions inflicted on our First Nations brothers and sisters. Did you know, sad fact for the day, that there are close to 600 indigenous communities that do not have potable water? I wonder how that would go over in Stittsville. I don't think we'd be without potable water for long, do you? Not to mention the church's financial and sexual scandals that seem to regularly surface to public awareness. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Oh, you guys are good. We understand Jesus to be the Prince of Peace, yes? And we pray that God will grant us the peace that passes all understanding. And most of us understand our religion to be based on peace, something that we've forgotten at some points in our history. Peacemaking, peace-loving, and peace-keeping. So what gives when Jesus is saying, do not think I have come to bring peace, but a sword? What gives? I don't think it's Jesus' desire or purpose to set fathers against sons or mothers against daughters. It's certainly not his will that we stir up conflict for conflict's sake, or use his words to justify violence or war. That's just wrong. So what if Jesus is being descriptive rather than prescriptive? What if he's describing what can happen and what does happen? How many of you are aware that families are estranged, children and fathers, or grandchildren and grandparents? It's all too common, isn't it? That's not on Jesus. That's the world we live in. And what if by using a sword as a metaphor, he's looking to bring not fake peace of denial, but rather the kind of deep, life-changing peace that doesn't hesitate to break in order to mend, to cut in order to heal? This is no different than the pain we initially feel when a wound is disinfected. It hurts. It causes pain, but only to remove pain later. I learned that the hard way when my dog bit me. Disinfecting the wound was not fun. Jesus will stop at nothing to remove anything that keeps us from wholeness, holiness, and true peace. Even at the cost of relationships that keep us from that. Jesus in our text today is also speaking of the radical nature of following him. We do not live in a time of peace, but dispeace, in case you haven't noticed. In other words, dissension, strife, and turmoil. Jesus calls us to go deeper. Will everyone be glad to see Jesus? Not according to Scripture. As I mentioned earlier, there are some who are threatened by the gospel, and their reaction can be violent or negative at the very least. This means that sometimes we need to be willing to confront and conflict with death-dealing powers. So much so that even though genuine peacemaking remains the ultimate goal, it might initially appear as if we have not come to bring peace, but a sword. When you speak truth to power, it's not an easy thing. And taking up the cross in this context, what if it's used as a metaphor for the difficult work of embracing an unconventional life of intense, generous commitment to God's mission, wherever we find it? A willingness to lose our life in order to find it. Following Jesus ideally means making God's mission of love and justice the first priority in our life. To take up the cross is to embrace a way of life marked by service and faithfulness, and sometimes sacrifice. To embrace this way of life, sometimes we have to let go of certain things. Discipleship is not about personal gain, but about embodying God's love and justice in the world that we live in. Dying to yourself and losing your life takes us beyond the stresses of our lives and to rest safely in God. What dies? What dies are the habits of individualism, greed, self-interest, above interests of benefit to the others. We choose to follow him. Imagine if our hands can only hold one thing each. Now, if I want to grab something else, I need to shift something, don't I? Otherwise, I can't take it in. There, that's helpful. That's even more helpful. Now I'm free to carry in the things that matter. It likely means giving up even precious things in order to have something greater and everlasting. Being a disciple is not easy. In fact, it can be very hard. How many of you heard of Barbara Brown Taylor? She's a modern-day theologian who's written a lot of books. Quite a very interesting person to read. She once argued that if we're honest with ourselves, most of us are less like disciples, but more like friends of disciples. Yet, on any given day, even words as challenging as today's gospel can be addressed to us personally and help us dig deeper. That's the right way to say it. To dig deeper, to follow Jesus a little closer, and to live into our discipleship that much more on any given day. On any given day, supported by God's Spirit, there's no telling what kind of follower of Jesus we might become on any given day. True life isn't found in the accumulation of things or personal achievement. I know it's hard to believe, because that's what we've been told. It's found in living in right relationship with God, with the community, and with God's creation. Jesus invites his followers into this reality, where life is defined not by status or security, but by faithfulness to God's call. I wonder what would be reborn if we let go of the safe and mostly self-interested self-approaches to life and trust God's open-spirited path to the future. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? So this week, oh good, he said this week means he's drawing to a close. So this week, I invite you to reflectfully and prayerfully discern what God might be calling you from and calling you to in order to draw closer to the kingdom of God. What might God be calling you to let go of and or pick up in order for you to draw closer to God's kingdom this week?